by Tallgrass Motors and by Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma. We'll talk with Senator Julie Daniels coming up in just a moment.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
And we're joined by telephone with Senator Julie Daniels. And Senator, first of all, you have gone now from the freshman member of the legislative team from Washington County to the senior member of the team. And I believe you spent the election in Oklahoma City talking with some newly elected senators, if I think I understood you correctly. Good morning.
That's right, Charlie. Good morning. Yes, my role this time was to assist in raising funds for our Senate candidates and then to monitor their campaigns. And so several of us gathered last night at the state party headquarters to get results as they were being posted at precincts around the state and then to talk to our newly elected senators and tell them about their next steps. And in the midst of all that, of course, I contacted and congratulated Representative Strom and Commissioner Antle and our two city council members, and look forward to working with Representative Strom and Representative Fincher and helping ease their way into the legislature. I know on the Senate side, we will be very busy starting next week when we caucus, elect all our leadership. They will have an orientation. We're going to discuss changes in our rules, what our action items are going to be that we hope will sort of dovetail with Governor-elect Stitt. So as you can imagine, last night we were all very excited, and the margin of victory for Governor Stitt was, I think, very confirming for those of us who would like to see some government reform and a move to run government in a business-like manner. It's not a business, we understand that, but in a more business-like manner. So we were all full of ideas and conversation and excitement last night. And, it was a good night for Oklahoma.
Well, I think it was. And just looking at the numbers, and I haven't looked at the final turnout from the statewide numbers, but the impression, just anecdotally, talking to candidates that I did talk to, a much better turnout across the state than the last midterm election. And so another cause for optimism, voter participation. Apparently, the voters went to the polls and wanted to be heard this time.
Well, exactly, and I think President Trump did have something to do with that. I don't know. There will be people who will parse later. Was it national things that helped give Kevin Stitt more votes, or was it everybody's excitement about Kevin Stitt that gave, you know, national folks more votes in Oklahoma? Somebody will be there to sort all that out. But yes, and as a citizen, I like going in and seeing. Yes, it's a long ballot, but I like seeing the whole sweep of government there before me. I'm so glad that our city council has moved to having their elections at general election time. I know we all got tired of all the campaigns and the ads and the signs, but it really helps for citizens to focus on everything in this concentrated period of time. And I believe it benefits all of us in the long run to be thinking of government as a whole when we go to the polls and not just this little piece or that little piece. So that's just my personal opinion about how that might also have driven more voters to the polls. Somebody maybe wanted to go vote for a particular thing, but they needed to inform themselves about all these other people and issues before they did so. So all in all, I think a great night. And we in the Senate were just very, very pleased. We picked up one seat, that District 32 that has a lot of Lawton in it, was a seat represented by outgoing Senator Randy Bass, and that became a Republican seat last night. We did lose two Oklahoma City seats, the one that had been held by David Holt, who's now the mayor of Oklahoma City, and one that had been held by Dr. Yin. So we have a couple of districts in Oklahoma City that are trending purple. I wouldn't say blue, but purple. And this is reflection all over the United States. So, you know, we're going to get together, all Republicans together, and we're going to assess this. And I'm just very excited that we're going to have a governor with a bully pulpit who isn't afraid to be out there, who's energized, who has ideas, not afraid to ask questions, doesn't have to have all the answers, doesn't matter if somebody says to him, well, don't you know we've always done it this way or you can't do it that way. Just being willing to go out and just ask so that we can all discuss it together. I just think it's going to be really, really exciting getting to be in the Senate with him occupying the second floor governor's office.
And I think carrying that theme just a little bit further, and I know voters turned down the idea of a governor and a lieutenant governor running on a common ticket, but I think also Mr. Pinnell will add a little bit of stability to a first-term person who comes from the business world as opposed from the governor's world, not unlike the president. People who get things done in a different manner and may need a little bit of time getting used to the way government works.
Well, and Charlie, that is a very good point, because Pinnell not only brings that history of activism in the Republican Party, but he's been our state chairman, and he was in the inner circle of the Republican National Committee. So he has already been of great help to Governor-elect Stitt. I know they've had numerous meetings. I know that Stitt has brought in Lankford and Inhofe and all the congressional delegation, who said this is very refreshing because we do represent you in Washington and we need to know what our state government needs for us to focus on or perhaps stop or something we can do to assist in your reforms. So to say that Governor Stitt woke up this morning and says, now what do I do? He's been working on this now ever since he captured the nomination, and Pinnell's been a big help with that. I'll tell you another one. I am had the opportunity Sunday to be in an event at the University of Oklahoma and sit with the new OU president, of course, who has Bartlesville and Phillips Petroleum roots. And he was speaking about a lot of the reforms he is already undertaking at OU and the discussions he's already had with Governor Stitt. So I'm just really optimistic. Now, you also made the point about the state questions. Now, some of us saw those state questions as reforms, and some did not. So selling reform to the voters when we're going to rely on the voters to amend the Constitution, because a lot of these restrictions or inhibitions or barriers to doing things in a business-like manner are in our Constitution. Well, this is where a Governor Stitt can help us in a way that his predecessor did not. If Governor Stitt goes out and says, we need to amend the Constitution so that the governor's office can operate in a more efficient manner, help me do this. That's a lot better than a senator going out, as I tried to do on some of these state questions, and pitching reform. He's just got a lot bigger microphone, and I think we're going to see some of that.
Some of the things that I heard from some voters, and I'm trying to caution this on using the word some twice on this one, some of the items that were on the state questions this time, people were saying, well, you know, the legislature could have handled this. We didn't necessarily need to do it constitutionally. And sometimes they're right and sometimes they're not. Some of them come from citizen initiatives, and some questions come from the legislature saying, we really want the voters to weigh in on this thing, but it is a balance between voters and the elected officials doing what they are elected to do.
Well, and again, you make a good point about the way Oklahoma's Constitution operates. We have a strong initiative petition plank in our Constitution. We are a populous state by our history. Mistrust government, spread all the accountability out until some of us think there isn't much accountability. But, you know, the optometrist thing, they have a very strong lobby. There have been attempts at the legislative level to reform that industry some. And, you know, lobbyists and special interests from all sorts of aspects of life are there. And they've been very successful. So, yes, the legislature should be the ones to go in and do these reforms. But short of that, the initiative petition process allows for the citizens to decide. Now, all those other state questions did come to you from the legislature, and I'm thinking about all of them. Several of them, in order to do the reform, they required a constitutional amendment. We could not say how we will elect the governor and lieutenant governor because it's in the Constitution. The same thing with the use of the permanent building fund property taxes for operations, freeing the school boards up to do that. We as a legislature could not make that reform without the citizens amending the Constitution. So a lot of this, Charlie, is we all need to understand better how state government operates. We have a sense that it operates just like the federal government, and it doesn't. So I'm inspired to go and do more teaching and informing and make it clearer to people because then perhaps we would be better at engaging the citizens in helping us make these changes. So, again, it's just a bright new day, even though it's fairly cloudy in Oklahoma City. It's a bright new day from where I'm sitting.
Well, I think we're at least calling mostly sunny as I look out the window, and that's the way the forecast looks here in Bartlesville. We're going to take a quick break and continue for another few minutes with Senator Julie Daniels on Community Connection on 1400 K1.
Announcing the new Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma. Two of Oklahoma's premier orthopedic experts, Central State Orthopedics and Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, EOC, have now merged to become Oklahoma's premier orthopedic healthcare expert, Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, PLLC. So if you're in need of back surgery, knee or hip replacement, call the specialist at Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma now offers the best orthopedic care in the state, and I should know. It's where I had my back surgery. So whether you're in need of back surgery, hip or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, located in the Natalie Building at 65th and Yale. Call 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma.
Spending a little bit of time this morning with State Senator Julie Daniels, now the senior member of the Washington County Legislative Team. Senator, you have been in meetings over the last, except a couple of months on the medical marijuana issues, and I don't believe that you're done with those meetings yet, but you're preparing to bring some of those issues and ideas you've been talking about to this newly elected legislature as it prepares to meet for the next session, right?
Right. That's right, Charlie. Thank you for bringing that up. In fact, today I will go to a bar association program on marijuana and what it means to the practitioners of law in Oklahoma. And I've made a point to go to as many of these kinds of things as I can, listening to bankers, listening to business people, been to a couple of law firm seminars on what this is going to mean in the workplace. Because what it does for me is I can take notes on all the problems they bring up and all the issues. I've heard about some of them in this series of hearings that we've held at the Capitol. And so I want to make sure that when the next draft bill comes to me, which ought to be fairly soon, Senate and House staff are working on an update of a bill that just continued to evolve during our hearings. And so I will be armed with all my notes and questions, and I'll be able to go through that bill and say, okay, did they address this issue or this question? Is it doing so effectively? How does it balance the medical marijuana patient rights with the rights of all the other citizens of Oklahoma? So that's what I'm going to try to bring to my own desk as I work through this. In fact, I've had a wonderful conversation in the last 2 weeks with the new Bartlesville police chief, roles, and just this week with City Manager Mike Bailey and Community Development Director Lisa Beeman. And because Bartlesville is so well administered, I know that when I go to these folks and ask them to weigh in, they are very practical. They know the limits of what we may or may not be able to do to accommodate what cities might like to see. And so I know with Lisa and Mike and now Chief Rolls, I have really good information from people who, you know, they're not trying to push an envelope. They really are trying to get to a practical solution to the many things that the State Question 788 was silent on. So that's what I'm doing, not going to hearings right now, but trying to continue to educate myself. I do not know if 788 will be, not 788, if the marijuana regulation bill will be one bill or a series of bills, but I know that life is about to get really, really busy post-election because I'm expecting that to be on my desk here pretty quick.
Well, and I know that the medical community is also, I'll say, informing themselves possibly more than what they may have learned in medical school and that sort of thing. I know of at least one doctor who has said to a patient or two, it may be that medical marijuana may be the answer for this particular problem because you're not getting relief from pain medications, or maybe you don't want to take opioids or something like that. So the medical community also, I think, is informing themselves on at least what may be happening at the state level.
Well, that certainly is the ideal. I think some of the things the citizens might have a misimpression is that marijuana, to my knowledge, is not part of the pharmacological curriculum.
No, as a matter of fact, as a Schedule I drug, they teach very little about it because as a Schedule I drug, you can't prescribe it.
Exactly. And the same is true with medical practitioners. And we do have, there is a concern by those, especially who do pain management, about not necessarily the interaction, but there are some difficulties with using marijuana and then also taking opiates. And if your doctor knows about it, then you can walk through those issues together. But because we're not talking about prescribing marijuana, we're talking about people getting a license and then going and shopping for whatever kind of product they wish to try. It's just a very different relationship than most of us have with either a doctor or a pharmacy. So it's a whole new day. Our law is more liberal in terms of no medical conditions were listed in 788. So it's a little more open-ended, and that's why we're trying to be really careful with putting together final regulations that I'm confident some of the things will be challenged in court. That's just going to happen. But it is a statute, so it'll be interesting to see if the courts say that because it's a statute, we as the legislature are simply expanding the role that the citizens had when they went to the ballot box, and we're trying to fill in the gaps. It's a very interesting topic, and will remain so for some time.
Yes, it is. Well, Senator, thank you so much for your time this morning and for your impressions on the election. And of course, I think your comments on your involvement and your talks with the city government, at least here, and I have no doubt the other cities that you represent in your district. So it'll be interesting to see how the new legislature assembles itself for 2019. And thank you so much for your time this morning and your viewpoint.
Okay, thank you, Charlie. Take care of Bartlesville.
I'll do what I can as a news person, but we'll leave the rest of it up to you or the chief of police or somebody.
As you and KWN always do.
Thank you very much. Senator Julie Daniels with us this morning on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, 42 degrees on a Wednesday morning, a day after the general election, partly sunny. We'll take a look at the rest of the forecast after news from the Oklahoma News Network.
ONN News, I'm Sean Carey. Republican Kevin Stitt will be the next governor of Oklahoma. He defeated Democrat Drew Edmondson.